Blog Talk Radio.
Via my show page live online at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show. And those who are listening via cell phone or landline, thank you guys for tuning in as well. Again, the call in number is 818-301-5834. Now, today's show is being brought to you by our sponsor, CPA on Duty. For all of your tax or accounting needs, call the certified public accounting firm of CPA on duty. You can reach them at 770-732-0244. Whether you have personal taxes, personal accounting, corporate taxes, corporate accounting, and even IRS issues, the professionals at CPA on Duty can help you with your concerns. Give them a call today, 770-732-0244. And don't forget to mention that the Frank Williams Show sent you. All right, again, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show, and welcome. Now, the call-in number is 818-301-5834. You can listen live there, and you can also press the number 1 on your keypad once you're inside listening to the show, and that will alert me that you'd like to be on the air, and I will put you on the air for your comments or opinions. 818-301-5834. Now, today's weather, right now we're looking at 79 and sunny degrees on this Tuesday. High today of 93, low tonight 70. Sunny tomorrow, 95. Sunny Thursday, 94. Sunny Friday, 95. So we're looking at hot all week. And they've been in the low to mid 70s at night. But no rain in the forecast pretty much for the whole week, right? And I hope you guys had a great weekend. I know I did. Didn't really do a whole lot. Kind of took it easy. I cooked, and like I tell you guys, get out there on those grills. Get, you know, as long as you got something to keep the mosquitoes away or keep them off of you, you're good. Just hang out. And I'd like to get with someone and try to figure out something, how to get rid of flies. Does anyone know how to keep flies away? I don't know how to keep flies away. But anyway, if you're able to come up with that invention, wow, you'd be rich in a couple of weeks. And again, I hope you guys had a great weekend. I hope everyone was safe, and I hope you guys had fun and spent some time with your families. And I do appreciate you guys listening in to the show this morning. 818-301-5834. We also had a great weekend of college football. I mean, a great weekend of college football. I want to say that, you know, having a great weekend of college football, you know, I'd say this, it's just big time. It's big time how things go. We had the game last night, Ole Miss and Florida State. That was a great, you know, game. Florida State ended up beating Ole Miss. The Texas Notre Dame game was just tremendous. I mean, tremendous. That was a great game. All right? That was a great game. And let's see. Let's look at this first week of NCAA football. Let's see if I can find Georgia plays Nicholls State this weekend. Um, Houston was a great game. Clemson plays Troy this weekend. Florida State played Charleston Southern. Kentucky and Florida, that should be a great game on Saturday. Let's see. Western Kentucky plays Alabama. I don't know what kind of thing that's going to be. Ole Miss, Arkansas, and TCU, that should be a good matchup. Oklahoma and Louisiana, Monroe. I mean, LSU and Jacksonville State. So LSU should bounce back. They got beat over the weekend. Okay, they got beat over the weekend. And we'll just wait and see, right? We'll just have to wait and see how things go this weekend. But Georgia won. We look good this weekend. Looks like we're going to have a nice team for this year. Chubb is back, looks healthy as ever. Also, the quarterback, the young guy, Jacob Eason, he looks like he's going to be a great player for a few years. He got another tailback. He's a true freshman. Looks like he's going to be a good one for the years to come. So, we're looking pretty good. Georgia's looking pretty good. And I think we're going to do some good things this year, okay? Some good things this year. So, hey guys, I got a great show for you. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. And again, you can call in 818-301-5834 if you'd like to be on the air. Just press the number one. That'll alert me that you'd like to be on the air, and I will put you on the air for your comments or opinions. Today's episode is entitled I didn't do the word of the day. Okay? So today's word of the day is will-o-the-wisp. Will-o-the-wisp. Willowthewisp. Will-o-the-wisp. Will-o-the-wisp. And will-o-the-wisp is a noun, and it means a light that appears at night over marshy ground. A light that appears at night over marshy ground. Will-o-the-wisp. Or a misleading or elusive goal or hope. Okay? That's will-o-the-wisp. All right? So that's your word of the day. Grab that, run with it, however you see fit, and get going. Today's episode is entitled, How Are Some Disabled Veterans Different from People on Welfare? Now, we're going to discuss this touchy subject of military veterans that are milking the system, just like people do the welfare system. And I know this is going to touch some people. I understand. But, there were things said about, I saw some things on Facebook about, people who are on welfare and milking the system and this and that. But, I'm not, of course, I'm not talking about all people, all veterans, because all, some veterans are truly disabled. And I said some disabled veterans. I didn't say all disabled veterans. And so that means that some disabled veterans are not disabled. They are, just as able-bodied as I am to work every day. But because they went to the military and, figured out a way to get disability through the military, they have. you know, are they milking the system? Of course they are. They are milking the system, just as people who are on welfare and are able-bodied, able to work. There are hundreds and hundreds of jobs around Atlanta, okay, in Georgia, that anyone could do, okay? But they have decided to get on the system of welfare and collect these checks and this social help every month, okay? And there was a video that was going viral that someone sent to me from this young girl who's on welfare, have kids, and gets a pretty good amount of money each month from the government. And everyday workers, like you and I, are putting in money, paying taxes. Part of that tax money goes towards people on welfare. Part of that tax money goes towards people who are disabled veterans. Okay, so you know, when I talk to people about people being on welfare, I also bring up the subject of disabled veterans who are not disabled. Okay, disabled veterans who are not disabled. We know a young guy from Texas who was in the armed forces and supposedly came down with some kind of thing that makes him unbalanced. And he's now collecting a check every month from the government for his disability. Okay? Now, he may really have a problem. But from the time that I spent with him, once a month, I was out there once a month, every month for a while, and from the time that I spent with him and his family, this guy's nowhere disabled. Very able-bodied, like you and I. Okay? There are other people who are out there who are milking the system, just as welfare people. Now, you know, the person that sent me the video on Facebook was talking about these deadbeats who, you know, are milking the welfare system. Well, yeah, they are. There are also deadbeats who are milking the disabled veterans, the military system. What's the difference? What's the difference? They're veterans. They hadn't been in any kind of combat. I could see if they'd gone to Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever and was physically harmed while in combat. Okay, and I understand people have problems. Sometimes they might lift something that's too heavy and lifted it wrong and got hurt physically. Can't do the job anymore. And are disabled. But there are people out there who are milking on both sides of the coin. And what can we do about it? We can't really do anything about it. But I can talk about it. I can't do anything to change it. There are supposed to be people, these child services people who have jobs that supposed to be checking in with these people, doing their job. I believe they have a government job and they're milking the system, just people are. if they were doing their job and getting out in the field and seeing these people, I believe that things would be different. But they aren't getting out there doing that. They aren't doing their job. They're actually milking the system. 818-301-5834 is our number to the show. Press the number 1 on your keypad, and I'll put you on the air for your comments or opinions. Now, also, the welfare system has been around for many, many years. And the media brainwashes us to think that it's the people that are on welfare are mostly African Americans. That is totally false. The welfare system was created for people who couldn't take care of their kids, couldn't take care of themselves or whatever. And it was created for white people. And, you know, this system would have never been created if it was just supposed to be for black people. African Americans would have never been created. The system was created for white people. And there are, two-thirds more white people on welfare than there are African-American people. Look it up. Look it up. There are more people on the welfare, there are more white people on the welfare system than any other race. That's just a fact. But it gets spewed to us as if African Americans are the main ones who are on the welfare system. Disabled veterans who are not disabled and are milking the system should be stopped. But I can't stop them. People on welfare who shouldn't be on welfare, who are able-bodied people, can get a job just like you and me, should be stopped. But I can't stop them. All I can do, I can go to work every day, do my job, take care of my family, provide for my family, take care of my family. That's what I do. But there are people out there. Not all people. Some veterans, not disabled veterans. But they do receive money every month. They do get benefits from the government every month through the system. But they are able-bodied people just like you and me. Welfare recipients. Not all welfare recipients should be receiving welfare. They are able-bodied people that can get a job and take care of themselves and their families just like you and me. So don't throw this at me as if only African-American people are on welfare, because it's not true. Don't throw this at me as only, there are more African-American people on welfare than there are anyone else, because that's not true. There are more white people on welfare than any other race, and that is a fact. Now I have a caller from the 314 area code. The first three digits are 381. Looks like they want to be on the air. I'm going to put them on the air right now. Caller, you're live on the show with Frank Williams. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Frank. I'm calling from the Midwest, the Ferguson area.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing?
Doing
Frank,
great.
I heard you say that there's more. Now, isn't this kind of disingenuous? There's more whites in the country. It's like 100, close to 200 million of them in the country. And you probably got 35 million, 37 million blacks in the country. So for people to use whites as, and many times, you know, too, in discussions, we hear blacks who's defending a point, we use white as a validity of their standing. But the numbers that you're supposed to look at, and let me say this, I don't mind and care about people who's using programs to help them get on their feet or to provide food on the table for their children, because children are innocent. But when you look at the numbers, blacks are disproportionately on the welfare rolls compared to any other ethnic group. And if you look at Asians, whose numbers are about half that of blacks, about 17, 20 million, their welfare roll is probably in single digits, where I believe that African Americans are probably like, as far as poverty is concerned, is like 24%, maybe 26% of their numbers. And that's a lot, Frank. Now, the thing is how do we change that around and work to change it around? And one other thing, too. Those soldiers, the former veterans that's on disability, I don't have no problem with them being on disability. As far as you saying there's those on the disability that shouldn't be on there, well, I don't know. I'm not the one to determine. I know a lot of them that should be on there because I grew up around one that went to Vietnam. But here's another point you may be leaving out. You got a lot of people who's on Social Security disability. And I know in some commercial trades, building trades, that they go out on early retirement on Social Security disability, especially firefighters. They do it, and they hardly ever get denied. And probably police, too. They hardly never get denied. They can say it was chasing somebody to shoot them in the back, and they trip, just as they fired and killed them. And they had to go to the hospital. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir, I do.
All that has to be taken into accountability. And as I said before, a lot of emphasis is going on people being in these predicaments. And I'm talking about black people. We have to put more emphasis on how to make sure the young people don't end up on those roles. Like they talk about the pipeline that leads you to prison. Well, if you don't want children to get on the pipeline that leads them to prison, then put a valve on the inlet side and keep them from going in there. And help them to bypass that. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you make great points, and I understand the proportion of people, black people who are on welfare or in poverty, and opposed to the number of black people who are in the United States. I understand that. At the same time, there were, like I said, there were people who were sending me messages and videos on Facebook about this young black girl who was on there, who was saying how much money she receives each month. And I say it all the time. People who need to be on welfare, that are on welfare, I don't have no problem paying taxes and taking care of helping those people. But there are people, and I know of them personally, who are on the welfare system and should not be on the welfare system. And I know people, disabled veterans personally, on the system and are not disabled. And so that's my beef with them is what make disabled veterans who are not disabled but are on the system as being disabled different from people who are on welfare and are not, physically unable to take care of themselves or their families. That's what I'm saying is, what makes these people different?
Well, I know one thing. As a veteran, it's difficult as heck to become disabled as a former veteran of military service from listening to what people say. Those who serve. And in like man, once you get on welfare to stay on there, you have to damn near have a PhD in working the system.
Yeah.
I know some women know how to work that system, man, in order to stay on. So it's damn if you do, damn if you don't.
And see, I believe too that that's also a big circle where people they have these kids and the kids grow up in that situation, and the situation is how to become a welfare recipient, how to get on the system, what to do to increase your earnings each month through the system, and all that. And I think that's a big circle that, somehow has to stop as well, as people.
Frank, let me ask you a question. Back in the day, now let's go back, because I know you're old enough to do that. What state was everybody talking about going to in order to get on the welfare rolls?
I remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember the state.
California.
You're right.
Yeah. Everybody was talking about, well, I ain't going to say everybody, but people were talking about, if you get on welfare, let's go out here to California. Even if you were just traveling through the state, you could go there and get some kind of assistance. And that's the way it was. Now, during Katrina, I'm staying here in the St. Louis area, and we helped people. They relocated a lot of people. And we helped black families it was a hotel that was letting them stay there for like 30 days or maybe a little longer. And we would pick up black families and take them from place to place to place so they could get on, roles for assistance, whether it's food or however.
Yeah.
They didn't have no transportation. I did that personally. Yeah. So now there wasn't nothing wrong with that, Frank, because these folks needed help. Needed help to get back on their feet. And just like you got people down in Baton Rouge today, they need help to get back on their feet. They don't want to stay there all the time. Now, you do have some that's crazy, like that girl was on YouTube. But for the better part, they are not like that. They want to be able to take care of themselves.
Right. Do better. Right. Right. And again, those aren't the people who I'm speaking of. The people that I'm speaking of, again, are some disabled veterans who are not disabled and are on the system and receiving disability each month. They've never even seen one day of combat or anything. Never been to Iraq, never been to Afghanistan, none of that. And I understand things can happen here and things happen every day. But again, I know personally people who are on the system who I feel are just as able as I am to work every day, and just as well as veterans, as well as people on the welfare system.
And I think
a lot of those people make it tough for people who really need it.
Frank, let me ask you another question. You remember Agent Orange, right?
Yes, sir.
They didn't want, I'm talking about the military, didn't want to classify Agent Orange as being what it really was that caused a lot of post-traumatic problems amongst veterans. It was years, maybe decades before they say, okay, these complaints that you're complaining about, infertility, blisters on your body, headaches, and these mood swings is caused by this chemical agent that was used in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So it was, you had people, see, I had a neighbor.
Yeah.
Her son, name was James. He had just bought a brand new 1964 Impala Super Sport convertible. And he went to Vietnam. And when James came back, James was totally out of his mind. He would walk from one block to the other block, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. My wife's cousin, Jackie's husband, Elroy, she had to end up putting him in a home because he'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking he was in a combat situation. And she would have to call the police, which you know in itself was dangerous.
Right.
And she had to end up putting him in a home. Now, she did receive some sort of compensation because they had two children. But it was hard. And James, I don't know, whatever. I think he's dead now. But I'm sure, I don't think they ever gave him any compensation because he was probably suffering from the effects of Agent Orange.
Right. My wife's neighbor, as she was growing up and I'd go back and forth, you know, seeing her at her house dating and her next door neighbor. Her next door neighbor's son was in Vietnam. We called him Fish, and that's where he'd walk the street up and down the block every day in his, you know, in his pajamas and his house coat and his and his house shoes. He'd walk up and down the block every day. And, you know, of course they, you know, attributed that to him being in the military and this and that. But they received compensation every month. And I'm good with that because he had a problem. And it came from, you know, him being in Vietnam. And, you know, I don't have a problem with those people, okay? And, but, you know, I do have a problem with people on the system who don't, you know, are not, you know, supposed to be on the system. And then there are people out here who have these government jobs who supposed to be supposedly watching out, kind of going out in the field and seeing people who are on the system that aren't doing their job. So it's all kind of different parameters in there that make things different. And
well, you know, another thing too, you know how we hear people say that blacks couldn't get on welfare if they had a husband in the house?
Yeah.
Now, listen. I never seen a written policy that stated that. Now, whether this was a wealth, whether it was a client worker that came out and done interviews and checks and stuff, maybe that was their own personal policy. I never seen no written policy on that. Have you?
I've never seen a written policy on that, but I've heard people that I know who are on the system, that's what they say. my wife is a CPA, and she deal with a lot of different people, and some people who are on the system that that's what they say, is that they're not supposed to have a husband or a man living in the house with them while they're on the system. But
That's silly. Yeah, if you got a family, which includes the husband, and you're in a position where you need that kind of help, maybe both of them are unemployed, or the income that's coming in by one is not sufficient enough to put food on the table to feed the children. I think that's a silly policy itself.
Yeah, I think so too, but I believe that is a policy. Like I say, I'm with you. I never seen that in writing or anything like that, but I've heard a lot of people say that you're not supposed to have a man living there in the house with you.
And what I have a problem with worse than that is this aid that they give, that the government gives to these other countries like Israel and Egypt. I'm talking about billions of dollars.
Absolutely.
That aid is totally, totally ridiculous. I would stop all aid like that, other than just if it's an earthquake, I would give aid in those cases. But
right.
This aid that they give to these countries like Israel, so you can just be our friend and all that little crazy mess.
Right.
You're talking about billions of dollars. That's crazy.
Billions of dollars. And we got people over here who are living in the street and homeless.
And look at all these students with this student debt. That's
student
crazy
debt.
As hell too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm one of them. But that's,
and these schools will sucker you into them. They get in there and
yep.
they tell you don't carry this many credits because you know it's hard on you. And then which it is, because you're coming from a school system, public school system, that didn't properly prepare you for the rigors of college. Then you go in there with a high GPA, which is inflated based on your school, because your school's gonna always tell you that you're doing good because they don't want to rouse no attention. But you go
right.
to the college that first year, and if you don't maintain that GPA, well, you're going to lose all that aid. Now you're forced to borrow money.
That's right. And then they promise you a job, and after you graduate, and that never happens. So, yeah, you're right. These schools are suckering you into this stuff, and they're getting all these government grants and all, and not doing the right thing themselves. Hey, well, I appreciate you calling out. That's all the
I'm
time I have
I'm going to get you next
today.
Time, because there's a couple more questions I want to ask you, but you're getting ready to go. I'm going to let you go ahead on.
Absolutely. I'll be here tomorrow, the rest of this week at 10:30 a.m. every day.
I'll catch you then. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks for your call, bud. So, again, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you in about 23 and a half hours. This is Frank. I'm over.